Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. I am honored today to be speaking with Indiana Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch and the ARC of Indiana Executive Director Kim Dotson to learn and share information about the Task Force for Assessment of Services and Supports for People with Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities, also known as the 1102 Task Force. The task force was established by the House Enrolled Act 1102 in the 2017 session of the Indiana General Assembly. It is led by Lieutenant Governor Crouch, a longtime champion on issues important to people with disabilities and their families. And Kim is a member of the task force. And both of the ladies are here with me today. Well, hello, ladies. Good to see you today.
Good to see you.
It's great to see you. Let's start with this Suzanne, under your leadership of the task force, meetings are being held around the state to gather information to prepare this comprehensive plan for community-based services for people with intellectual and other developmental disabilities. Tell me how this came about and why now are we doing this?
Well, the last assessment of services for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities was back in 1997, 21 years ago. And last year, the Indiana General Assembly determined that it was time, after 20 years, to take a new look at the services that we're providing and to kind of assess those services, see where we are today and where we need to be in the future, and then come back and make recommendations to the Indiana General Assembly. Kim was participating back in 1997. I wasn't, but I understand that at that time there was a crisis.
There really was. I think in 1997, 1998, when we started the 317 plan,
it was
this task force that was created to really look at the closing of our state-run institutions for people with disabilities. Fortunately, we had a lot of success, so we're not faced with that this time around, but most certainly services have changed significantly. And I think the demands and the wants from families and individuals themselves have changed so much that it's time for a new study to kind of look at where we need to be going.
Talk about what those needs are that have changed since 1997.
Well, you know, I think, first of all, and I don't know, Kim, you and I might have some thoughts on this. You know, when we look at what we are doing in Indiana, we're a state that does pretty good, I mean, in terms of our services. And so when you're good and you want to get to great, you're really going to have to take a look at not just what you're doing, but how you're doing it. And are we being as cost efficient? Are we able to provide as many services as possible? You know, are we providing a smorgasbord of choices to people from the time they are birthed to the time that they leave this life? Uninterrupted services, but to give them all the choices. And are we, I guess the question I'm most interested in, and Kim, you may have some thoughts on this, are we embracing technology to the extent that we can to provide those services?
Right. Which the answer to that is no. I don't think we are in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, Michelle, I think your question is a good one because this is where I think the Lieutenant Governor is being very humble. So I'll give her the credit that she deserves. But, you know, when you start thinking about what people want now, they certainly want more independence. They now know what the world is capable of providing for them. Mm-hmm. They now have more desire to be out in the community, to be working, and they know that they can do it. And that's all because of leaders like Lieutenant Governor when she was a legislator, when she was even just county auditor and still engaged with our local chapter at that level. And then when she became the state auditor and now the Lieutenant Governor, she has always been a champion for our issues.
Sure.
And she has always helped provide policies and opportunities for people with disabilities to do anything that they set their mind to. And so for that, we are eternally grateful. And so I think the 1102 task force allows all of that conversation to come to the surface, which we need to hear firsthand from those voices, and then provide the state the opportunity to act on what needs to happen next and what services need to be created.
But I also want to point out that I became involved because of ARC of Evansville. And as a county commissioner, I sat on that board, and that was my first exposure to people with disabilities, intellectual and developmental disabilities. I was struck by the passion and the commitment of those people that are actually engaged in providing the independence and the choices for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And so we have had such great advocates at the state level through ARC of Indiana and through KIM. And that is truly, it's that collaboration between the state government and between our local providers and between advocates like ARC and families, which we're seeing all brought together on this task force, that is going to help us truly be able to address this issue and to provide even better quality of life and better choices and independence for those with intellectual and developmental disabilities.
And talk a little bit about more of the goals on as you implement this plan and how you think it will positively impact individuals, families, providers in the future.
Sure. Well, working with KIM and our other partners, we have developed a meeting schedule and also an agenda schedule where we're looking at life from the beginning to the end and how we can improve the quality of choices. We go from early intervention. We also look at employment opportunities. Mm-hmm. And it's no secret that people with intellectual and developmental disabilities have an 80% unemployment rate. So to have truly the same quality of life and the same equal opportunity as everyone else, that is an issue that we really need to look at and to address very, very carefully. In addition, we're looking at residential options. Mm-hmm. You know, are we providing every opportunity for those people with those disabilities? And then, of course, the quality and capacity of community-based services. So we're trying to look at the total array of what we provide, mm-hmm. but then the goal is to be able to provide more choices for self-independence, self-worth, and self-attainment.
Sure. And Kim, I think for me, because when I started working here, you were very involved in the State House. So when you are talking...
She still is.
She still is. She still is, no doubt. But when she talks about things that are happening in the State House, in your view, knowing what happens... And you can come back and you can say, no, this really does happen. Mm-hmm. What do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I think we are so much more ahead than what we were 20 years ago as far as legislators really understanding the lives of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities and the services that support them. So I think this type of a conversation now is extremely timely. There are so many issues that affect the quality of life of somebody with a disability. And so I think the intensity of the agenda that the mm-hmm. Lieutenant Governor has put forth with the depth of the conversation that can take place is really important. And I think all of that will lead to a much better conversation at the State House because we'll be able to show that all of those stakeholders came together, talked again in depth about these issues, and are hopefully providing some good positive suggestions on how to, you know, make the policy better in whatever regard that issue addresses.
It's important that, to me, it's important that we think outside the box mm-hmm. and that we push the envelope mm-hmm. so that we're providing the greatest opportunity. You know, we don't just maintain the status quo. We know the status quo is good. Mm-hmm. But we want to go to great. So mm-hmm. it's going to take all of us thinking outside the box on how we can address those issues and be able to provide better opportunities.
And you were talking about members on the task force a little bit ago, and you have every sector of the disability community covered here. Why is that important for different viewpoints, for different organizations, for different people from different backgrounds to come together and say, look, this is what we need to do to provide the best quality of life for the people we serve?
Because one size doesn't fit all, and people with intellectual and developmental disabilities all have their own unique challenges. And so we need to have full representation. We need everybody at the table. And so the expertise that is around that table by people that represent state government through Family and Social Services Administration, the State Department of Health, Department of Child Services, the Governor's Council for People with Disabilities, and then, as equally important, members who have intellectual and developmental disabilities, their family members, providers, advocates, such as ARC, all of these individuals bring their own unique perspective. And so that will help us be able to come up with a, not a one-size-fits-all, but here is a smorgasbord of options. Mm-hmm. You pick and choose what works best for you.
Yeah. And, you know, I think when I was researching for this task force interview, the op-ed you wrote, you share a very personal story, and I loved it, that led to advice from your father that has stuck with you. Can you share that with me, please?
Well, I think we all probably have that life-defining moment, you know, where we look back and we understand that that particular moment is really what kind of caused us to be the people that we are. And mine came when I was about 12, and I was actually
I loved it. 5'8". Yes.
And so I was taller than all the children in the school and most of the teachers. And as kids do, they kind of make fun of the person who's a little different, and they call me the Jolly Green Giant, and they say, "How's the weather up there?" You know, and while it was funny, for a young girl struggling to fit in, it was a very painful time in my life.
Sure it was.
I remember going home one day and, you know, being very upset and talking to my father, and he said, "You know, Suzanne, when kids are making fun of you, it's because they themselves are insecure."
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the next time that they call you the Jolly Green Giant, just say, "Ho, ho, ho." Just go with it. And I did, and the teasing stopped. But what my father taught me was a very valuable lesson. And he taught me that when I can accept myself in spite of all my imperfections and respect myself, then I could accept and respect the differences in others. And that is the... that was a very valuable lesson that he shared with me, mm-hmm. and I believe that that is probably why I am the way I am today. So, you know, I recognize that we all are different, and we all mm-hmm. recognize that, and we have to accept those differences, because I always say our friends with disabilities are just friends with different abilities, and they have the same dreams and the same wants and needs of everyone else. You know, they want to have a career, and they want to mm-hmm. love and be loved, and mm-hmm. you know, have choices and be successful. And so that is, to me, what the goal of this task force is, to be able to provide those opportunities and choices for them that allow them to have that type of life.
And Kim, when I read that, I was like, oh my word. I mean, because it to me, to be that personal and say, look, this is my struggle and this is what I bring so that you don't have to have those struggles. I've been there before. I mean, even for you, that has to, for someone in public service to say, look, I have been there. I mean, that's great.
It is, you know, and, you know, it all made sense then. Because, again, the Lieutenant Governor has always been a champion of our issue. She has always sought out our issues to work on during the legislative process. And so hearing that story that I didn't know until,
you know.
I didn't. So, but it's one of those things, when she decided it was time to share it, you do look back and say, now it all makes sense. And quite honestly, when somebody champions our issues, it's because it is personal at some level. And so, you know, we're grateful that, you know, you always decided to be our champion and be a friend to people with disabilities. And we certainly hate that you went through that as a child.
Sure.
But it certainly made you stronger and better.
But let's get back to the task force for a minute, because there are several more meetings of the task force. So where are meetings held? How can the public be involved? Things like that.
Absolutely. Well, the next meeting is actually going to be down in my neck of the woods.
Oh, yes.
You know, because I'm from Evansville, and we're having it at Boonville, which is very close to Evansville. And we're having it in Boonville because it's a rural setting. And I think, and I know that Kim shares this, that we think it's important that we take a look at the services that people in rural areas are being afforded. And so we are having it there, and then we continue to have meetings all around the state. In June, we're going to be, or in April, we're going to be in Lafayette. Mm-hmm. And then in June, in Valparaiso. In July, back in Indianapolis. In August, in New Albany. In September, back in Indianapolis. And in October, in Columbia City. But you can actually go and learn more about the schedule and about the actual items that are going to be covered at the meeting by going to in.gov/LG, LG for Lieutenant Governor, and we have that on our site. And then I expect you also have it posted on our
site. We will.
We do, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think all people who are involved with the commission have tried to make that information easily available to the public, because one of our goals is to make sure that it's not just the stakeholders around the task force talking. We want to engage that public comment period as well and make sure that we're hearing from as many people as possible across the state.
So when everything is done, when the task force is completed, the assessment's done, what do you see as the next step?
Well, we will issue a report. We're required by legislation to issue a report to the Indiana General Assembly. And it is my hope that we end up with recommendations for legislation that we will then move forward in the Indiana General Assembly. And that's when Kim becomes very active. Because next year's a budget year, and we may see that we want to change some funding or perhaps some programs that would be involved with the funding. So that's kind of my hope.
No, I agree completely. I think we're really looking for that report to be a roadmap. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, these are the things that we need to change to really deliver the services to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities that they want and need, and that the state should provide. And so I think, and Lieutenant Governor is exactly right, is much of that might need legislative involvement. Mm-hmm. So we will certainly do any part of that is necessary. But hopefully, if things are identified throughout the course of the next, you know, 10 months that can be done administratively, we can get started on that as soon as possible as well.
Lieutenant Governor Susan Crouch and Executive Director Kim Dodson, thank you so very much. Well, and I wish you all the very best.
Thank you very much, Michelle.
To keep up to date on the task force and listen to my podcast, be sure to visit www.arcind.org. Thank you for listening today, everybody. Have a great day today. Bye-bye.